भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रूषोषधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्। ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, बाय सर्विंग दोज डिवोटीज हु आर कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल वाइस, ग्रेट सर्विस इज डन। बाय सच सर्विस वन गेन्स एफिनिटी फॉर हियरिंग द मैसेजेस ऑफ वासुदेवा। शृण्वतां स्वकथाः कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। श्री कृष्णा, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी, ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट इज ऑलमोस्ट कंप्लीटली डिस्ट्रॉयड, एंड लविंग सर्विस अन टू द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज प्रेस्ड विद ट्रांसेंडेंटल सॉन्ग्स इज एस्टैब्लिश्ड एज एन इरिवोकेबल फैक्ट। तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैरनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति। एज सून एज इरिवोकेबल लविंग सर्विस इज एस्टैब्लिश्ड इन द हार्ट, द इफेक्ट्स ऑफ नेचर्स मोड्स ऑफ पैशन एंड इग्नोरेंस सच एज लस्ट, desire and hankering disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya granthesh chidyante sarva samshayah क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे।
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare।
माधव कुंज विहारी जय राजन बल्लभ गिरिवर दारी सौर नंदन Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindiki Jai and Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gurang, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapasthaya Buddhadeva Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86, Verse 53. Brahmano Jamana Shreyam Savesham Praninam Iha Tapasa Vidyatushya Kimu Matkalaya Yutaha. Brahmana, a Brahmana, Janmana, by his birth, Shreyan, the best, Sarve Sham, of all, Praninam, living beings, Iha, in this world, Tapasa, by his austerity, Vidyaya, by his learning, Tushya, by his satisfaction, Kim U, what more than, Mut, upon me, Kalaya, with loving meditation, Yutaha, endowed. By his very birth, a Brahmana is the best of all living beings in this world, and he becomes even more exalted when he is endowed with austerity, learning, self-satisfaction, what to speak of devotion to me. Even my own four-armed form is no dearer to me than a Brahmana. Within himself, a learned Brahmana comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself I comprise all the demigods. Purported is understood from the Vedic science of epistemology, the Nyaya Shastra, that knowledge of an object, Pramaya, depends on a valid means of knowing, Pramana. The Supreme Personality of God can be known only by means of the Vedas, and thus he relies on the Brahmana sages, who are the Vedas personified, to reveal him in this world. Even though Lord Krishna embodies all the demigods and Vishnu Tattva expansions of Narayana, he considers himself obliged to the Brahmanas. Ignorant of this truth, foolish people neglect and enviously offend a learned Brahmana who, being non-different from me, is their spiritual master and self. They consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form. Because he has realized me, a Brahmana is firmly fixed in knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe and also the primary elements of the creation are all manifestations expanded from me. Therefore, you should worship these Brahmana sages, O Brahmana, with the same faith you have in me. If you do so, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even with offering of vast riches. So here is a whole section glorifying the Brahmanas, and particularly those Brahmanas who had accompanied Krishna when he went from Dwarka. Then he took with him a whole group of Brahmana sages by his very mercy. So we can understand that these were highly qualified persons, since they had got to accompany the Supreme Lord and observe all of these different pastimes of the Lord. So, he's praising the Brahmanas. Here talks about Jammana by birth. So that is, of course, the traditional way of identifying a Brahmana, because he's born from a father who was a Brahmana. Yet we often see that some people are not qualified as Brahmanas. They may not have the proper education. They may have wrong qualities somehow or other. Yet they're born in a Brahmin family, so then respect is given to them. And we see that many cases in the first canto. He's a Brahmana family, so we shouldn't disrespect him, even though he's evil and he's he's a demon or whatever. We can't disrespect him. So there is conventional honor given to the Brahmana just by birth itself in the traditional society. That is one thing. And, of course, one can take advantage of that as a Brahmana to get respect from everybody, even if one doesn't have qualification. So that's an exploitation of the system. So the idea is, of course, that those Brahmanas should be qualified. Now, the birth is one qualification, but then they should also live up to that birth and get proper qualities and proper education. So it's mentioned here that they're respectable, but even more respectable if they have
austerity, tapas, vidya, tushya. Tapas, of course, means sense control, and it also may mean extreme sense control in the sense of fasting and doing things like that. And vidya, so obviously means they have to study the Vedas. And tushya, satisfaction. Of course, this has got a broad category of meaning, satisfaction. They are satisfied in the self, or they're satisfied in the Supreme Lord, and consequently they don't indulge in, or they're not attracted to material life. Then the last is the most important element, that they are meditating on Supreme Lord, on Krishna. Then he directly says Krishna. And then, of course, that's emphasized later on, where he talks about that the Brahman has realized me and has firmly fixed in his knowledge on me. So obviously it means not just a Brahmana, he's also a Vaishnava. So he's the one that gets the most respect of all. This, of course, is also, we can see, analyzed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's a whole list of people given from, you know, or maybe it's the animals, first the plants, then the animals, then the human beings who follow Dharma and Varnashram system, and then the best of those is the Brahmana. But Brahmana in name only, or he's not really doing everything a Brahmana should do, but still he's higher than the rest. And then there's the one who actually is a Vaishnava. So he gets the most respect of all. And of course, among Vaishnavas, then we get various grades of Vaishnavas up until we get the gopis, well, like that. So there's various grades of greatness and consequently respect that we show to these various individuals. And then, what if the person is a great devotee but not a Brahmana? So then it doesn't really matter. He's also given the greatest respect. So we give the greatest respect to the greatest Vaishnava, in spite of the fact he may come from the lowest family or whatever. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave great respect to Haridas Thakur, though he was not even in the Varnashram system. He was lower than a Sudra, yet he was given great respect by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once we get to the Vaishnava, the whole idea of birth and whatever hasn't got so much relevance anymore. But traditionally, within the Varnashram system, the respect is given to the Brahmana, and particularly to the Brahmana who has proper qualification. Because the whole function of the Brahmana, as explained here, is to distribute spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the Vedas. So he's supposed to study the Vedas and then understand the conclusion and then deliver the people of the world by teaching that knowledge. So we see that therefore the occupation of the Brahmana is to teach. He should learn the Vedas and then he should teach the Vedas. And he should get spiritual knowledge and then impart that to others. So that's his main occupation. So if he's doing that, very, very good. He has to be respected. Now, of course, even studying the Vedas, we will have various meanings we may get from it. So some are non-Vaishnavic meanings. And then some might be impersonal meanings also. And then we're said, okay, you shouldn't even, if you see the impersonalist, you should jump in the Ganga and purify yourself. So what kind of respect is that? So in one sense, we avoid those persons completely, even if they may be Brahmanas, because definitely, to study Vedanta, you have to be Brahminical. That's one of the qualifications. But then if they come to the wrong conclusion, what do? Then we avoid them completely. So we don't give them that same respect as we give to a Vaishnava. Even a Vaishnava who's not a Brahmana, or not even in the Varnashram system, but who knows the conclusion of everything. So then we give greatest respect to that person. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu illustrated in his pastimes. So then, of course, what do? We still respect. Therefore, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of also of Shiva, taking the form of Shankaracharya and spreading Mayavad philosophy that we condemn. So what do we do? Because she was also a Vaishnava like this. He's doing something. And then it's explained that this is the role he's playing, and it's a service to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we just take Shankaracharya also as a servant of the Supreme Lord, and we don't disrespect him. He's doing a particular job at a particular time. And similarly, we can say that the whole of the Mayavad philosophy, etc., is a particular branch of knowledge created by Shankar for a certain purpose, and it's relying on the Vedas, but though it gives the wrong conclusion, still in one sense, we say the will of the Lord, so therefore we tolerate it. At the same time, because it gives the wrong conclusion, we also reject it. Just as we also reject Sankhya philosophy or Patanjali philosophy or Nyaya philosophy or Vaisheshika philosophy, all the other philosophies as well, even though they also depend on the Veda and they're called Astika. So, or Karma Mimamsa also. Karma Mimamsa particularly, they follow the Vedas, but they follow Karma Kanda. And many of them in doing so reject the Lord completely, which looks very offensive. So how do we respect these people? There is one offense to the holy name, that Shruti Shastra Ninda, to criticize the Shrutis. So we may criticize the Shrutis because we say, it's all karmakanda, and people are following this process of enjoyment in the material world. But then this interpretation, of course, we get Shruti in general. We can take it as simply the Shrutis we're criticizing the Vedas, so that we criticize the Vedas because of the karmakanda, which we often do. But then it says, that's an offense. You shouldn't criticize the karmakanda section of the Vedas. And the reason is that it's also given by the Supreme Lord for certain people, for people of lesser qualification. They have to follow lesser principles, lesser conduct, etc., lesser conclusions. So therefore, it's acceptable because it's within the Vedas. Of course, it's not the final conclusion, so that's our understanding. So those people who follow the karma kanda and think it's the final conclusion, then they are a little bit lost. But nevertheless, they get some benefit because they are following Vedas, they are following some principles, they're controlling their senses to some degree. And hopefully, by advancement through sattva-gun, then they will become detached from that and take up jnana or bhakti. Therefore, because it is a Vedic process, we don't criticize it. We understand its place within the whole system. So similarly, we also understand Shankaracharya in the same way, preaching a certain type of philosophy or whatever. So we have to tolerate it as one of the arrangements of the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, we don't accept any of those conclusions. We give respect to all living entities, then within the Varnashram system, we also respect all human beings more than the animals. And then the human beings that do follow the Varnashram system, even the Sudra, we give the respect to them also because they're following the system. And of all those, then we respect the Brahmana because he is supposed to be fixed in sattva-gun and he knows the Vedas. So he is the source of knowledge for the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras within that system. And we have to give respect. But of course, if they give the wrong conclusions, that's the problem. If they start, if they're smartas and they're more interested in panchopasana, worshipping five forms, and then merging in Brahman, etc., then giving the wrong conclusion. So, still, it's within the Vedic system to some degree, so we give some respect there. But the real respect we want to give is to the Vaishnava. So, if he's a Vaishnava Brahmana, very good. He gets high respect on both regards because he's in the Varnashram system, which is, we could say, the external aspect, and then because he is a Vaishnava, that's the more esoteric aspect, that he actually understands the final conclusion of the Vedas, so then we give great respect to that person. But then, if a person is in the Varnashram system and he also has the highest knowledge, then we have to give the greatest respect to him also. So in that sense, we see that there is more respect given to the Vaishnava than to anybody in the Varnashram system. So in or outside the system, he's a Vaishnava, he gets the most respect at all. But why? Because he has understood the essence of the Vedic knowledge, and therefore he's the one that can impart the highest knowledge and give the people the highest goal. And then naturally, that person, if he's fixed in the Supreme Lord, then he will manifest all the wonderful qualities of the Vaishnava, which are superior to the qualities of a Brahmana. A Brahmana has wonderful qualities, but those qualities actually are sattva-gun qualities, and they're material. The Vaishnava, by practicing bhakti, has subhada. So he develops spiritual qualities. So those are superior. They're all related to Supreme Lord. Therefore, the qualities that are attractive in a Brahmana will develop in a slightly different way in the Vaishnava, because he will develop spiritual qualities which are somewhat look like these ones in the Brahmana, but actually are a little different because they're derived from the Supreme Lord himself. So in this way, the idea is to respect and to respect more than anyone the Vaishnava. In this case, probably the majority of these sages were Brahmanical. So therefore, respect is, very great respect is given to them because they are Vaishnavas, plus they're also Brahmanas, whatever. Here Krishna himself expresses the fact that these Brahmanas, those who do know the Supreme Lord, they're dearer to me than my own form. They're dearer to me than myself. Which is exactly what Krishna talks about when he talks about the devotee. The devotee is dearer to me than my very self. I am under the control of my devotee. So in that case, he's not talking about Brahman or anything. He's just talking about the Vaishnava, the devotee. He's talking about the Brahmana, but the Brahmana also is a Vaishnava. So we can say that is the best type of Brahmana, the one who is a Vaishnava, who has a firm conviction in the Supreme Lord. And therefore he says here that this Brahmana is fixed in knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe and also the primary elements of creation are manifested forms, are expanded from me. So the real Brahmana is the one who understands the final conclusion of the Vedas, Krishna is supreme. Of course, we could take it in a general sense, okay, Vishnu is supreme, but actually here Krishna is speaking and he's talking about me in all cases, my form, my shelter. They take shelter of me. So just as in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender unto me. We can take that as a very personal instruction that the Brahmana should understand not only Supreme Lord is the shelter of everything, but Krishna is the shelter of everything. So in that case, that Brahmana is highest Brahmana, not only the Vaishnava, but he's also understanding Krishna is the ultimate form. So that's even a higher form of devotee, a Brahmana devotee. That person is to be respected very nicely. Anyone who can come to this conclusion and surrender to Krishna, then he is the one that gets the most respect. We see that Supreme Lord himself gets attracted even to Gajendra, who's not even a human being, an animal. And he simply offers some prayers. Therefore, the Lord becomes attracted to him. Why? And it's mixed devotion, but still, devotion is there. So devotion in an animal body, still the Lord is attracted to that. So, what to speak of a human body, whatever caste or varna it is, if the person develops that bhakti, very, very good. Therefore, the important element here is ultimately the bhakti. So, ideally, the whole varnashram system leads to bhakti. So therefore it says that the whole purpose of the Varnashram system is to satisfy Vishnu. So in that sense we can say, oh, it's also bhakti. Yeah? But then we make a distinction also. We have those activities of bhakti which in themselves manifest and increase bhakti. So this we call the main angas of bhakti, like hearing and chanting, etc. Then we have this whole system of Varnashram, and its goal is ultimately satisfaction of Vishnu, but it's a little more indirect. Some people understand the conclusion, worship Vishnu, so therefore they center their activities within that system on Vishnu. Very good. Others may not, or not to a high degree. So they worship Vishnu, but they also worship so many other things. So Vishnu is involved in there, but it's understanding not so clear. And for most people in the Varnashram system, the goal is material maintenance. The king establishes the system so that all the people and sattva, rajas, and tamas can maintain themselves and get food. So a lot of the system is simply taking care of the people. And that's the king's duty, to protect the people and see they get food and protection. So, therefore, this is the Varnashram system is a system for doing that. Everybody gets work. They can't be lazy. But then they work according to their gunas, and they get rewards according to their gunas. The people that follow the system are looking for maintaining themselves in the material world. But of course, it's also linked to higher principles, raising to the gunas, and then from that artha dharma kama, and then finally moksha. So at least the goal is to get out of the material world, but very few people in the lower modes are thinking like that at all. I want moksha. You know, the sudras and vaishyas, they're not talking about moksha at all. Most of them think best they go to a higher planet or have a better material life in this life, but very few are even thinking of higher planets. And when they get more intelligent, they think, okay, we do karma, we get higher planets like that. And then we have a bunch of brahmanas trying to go to higher planets. The whole karma wants the people, they're trying to get to Svargaloka as a result. They're not interested in moksha. So even if we get to sattva gun, technically, then some are not interested in moksha. So this becomes a rare thing. So though artha dharma kama moksha is one of the goals of that system, it is for a very few brahmanas, not all the brahmanas, a few brahmanas who start renouncing everything and study Vedanta. And then what about prema? So Lord Chaitanya says, well, that's the fifth goal in life, but generally people in the Varnashram system are very unclear about that goal. At least they understand, okay, moksha, ultimately we're supposed to get liberation, but after that, a little unclear. So in this way, the whole system is not strongly directed towards surrender to the Lord. Yes, indirectly, it is there in many ways, but it's not so direct. And all the angas of bhakti, like hearing and chanting, they are implicit in their doing them is the fact that it's for the pleasure of the Lord to attain prema. That's the whole idea. So those activities are quite different. So we can begin modifying the Varnashram activities to make them more suitable for bhakti. And therefore we can exclude the worship of devatas, just worship the Supreme Lord. And then we can do nishkama karma yoga and not be interested in material results. But if we just do that, then we could end up with jnana also, and not the Supreme Lord. So then we also have to somehow connect the Supreme Lord. Therefore we have karma arpana. Let us dedicate all of our activities we do in the Varnashram system to the Supreme Lord. So in that way, it becomes favorable to bhakti. We can say it is lesser than the actual angas of bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering. It's a modification of something else to make it suitable for bhakti, whereas the angas of bhakti are inherently bhakti itself, shakti of the Supreme Lord. So therefore they're very powerful to elevate us, the most powerful means of elevating us. So therefore we concentrate on those elements as the main elements of our practice, the angas of bhakti.
Maharaj, now as a society, ISKCON society, we also need to maintain the society and preach. And that would require some varnashram activities. Like a Brahmana has to preach, a Kshatriya probably has to do management, a Vaishya should help in fundraising and all that. But now sometimes it happens that we may not get all the people necessary for these activities. And someone who may probably have some Shudra tendency, we may request him that you please do these services of management and all that. And he may not be able to do them properly because it's not his nature. Then to what extent should he be pushed to do them properly, saying that this is service for Krishna, so you need to...
Well, if it's not his nature, not his quality, not his talent, and he does it, then we don't expect the best results in terms of, let's say, material standards of that management or whatever it is. We won't expect, and we can't expect it. And we shouldn't expect it. Of course, we can say, pray to Krishna. Maybe by Krishna's mercy, he will manifest a different quality. It's possible. But it may take some time to do that. In the meantime, we may have to suffer because of that. So we also have to maybe pray to Krishna that we get a more qualified manager. That's all.
And also we find that Narada Muni, he is condemning the Shastras when he is preaching to Vyasadeva. That you have only taught them Karma Kanda, you only glorified these lower forms of Dharma. So wouldn't that be some form of fourth offense, Shruti Shastra Nindanam?
Well, the offense is to utterly condemn the scriptures. In the case of Narada Muni speaking to Veda Vyas, he is thinking of the people of Kali Yuga who are unintelligent, attached to material things, short-lived, etc. So they don't have the scope to understand why they're worshipping Shiva or Durga or some other deity in the Shiva Purana or Devi Purana like that. They think that's the they'll think it's the ultimate of all, and they won't progress. So since the people are short-lived and unintelligent, therefore this process would be completely misunderstood in Kali Yuga. So therefore he's just giving good advice. He's not condemning the worship as such, because it's there, as Krishna also speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga is there, except to worship the devatas, you get all your desires fulfilled. But on the other hand, in Kali Yuga, then he says, okay, Sarva Dhamma Parijaya, reject all of this also. So not very practical on Kali Yuga. Other ages, yes, we can tolerate that system, and for lesser people, less qualified people. In Kali Yuga, even that system doesn't seem to work properly. So therefore, the advice is just do bhakti yoga. It's much simpler to just try to get people have faith if they're qualified. The main thing is that they need faith to do bhakti. If they don't have faith, they'll do the other system. Other systems difficult to do in Kali Yuga. Therefore, the devotees have to do something to get make people have more faith. That's all. Once they have faith, then they can just do bhakti.
Right, we see in America, the American citizens, they're given more prominent respect when immigrants go and get a citizenship, like Indians. But still in the society, the Americans get more. Similarly, can we understand from this sloka that the born Brahmanas who are really following all the rules and regulation, Krishna keeps in higher status than the other one who come to that platform from other communities or Brahmanas? Like we have the born Brahmins here, who follow the exact principles, are very devoted. Does the law say that they are more better than the others, or like once they take up Vaishnavism, everybody is on the same platform?
Yeah, so no, there's two types of respect. So we give one respect according to Varnashram system. So then the Brahmana gets the most respect. So that's one thing. The other is as a Vaishnava. So as a Vaishnava, the one who's got more devotion to Krishna gets the most respect. So we have two types of respect. Just like in the family, You may be a Vaishnava or whatever, but still the children respect the parents. Not because they're Vaishnava, simply because they're parents. So they give another type of respect there. Yeah? So we have different types of respect we give. So it depends on the situation then. Huh? And if it's, of course, if they're Vaishnavas and Brahmin, of course, then they get, we can say the respect kind of merges together at that point. But then on the other hand, we have the Brahmana who's not a Vaishnava. Then what do we do with him? Then we give him proper respect. But it's social respect we're giving. As far as society and the Varnashram system, we're giving that social respect. We're not blind to thinking, oh, he's the best Vaishnava simply because he's born in a Brahmin family. No. So we don't give that respect as a Vaishnava because he isn't. Huh? So then one who's a Vaishnava but not in the Varnashram system, then we give respect as a Vaishnava. So of the two types of respect, obviously the respect as a Vaishnava is more important for us because that's how we advance in devotional service.
In the Vedic literature, most of the shlokas, they only glorify Brahmana. Very less we find Vaishnava in the Sanskrit itself. So should we understand that is for Vaishnava or?
Well, in this particular case, at the end finally says this Brahmana has to know the Supreme Lord. He's equating the real Brahmana with a Vaishnava. It's implicit. He's not saying it, but it's implicit that this is he's respecting him. And obviously, these Brahmanas who were there with Krishna met Krishna face to face. They had to be highly qualified.
Huh? Guru Maharaj, as characteristics of a Vaishnava, it is said that one should be humble, one should give respect to others without expecting any respect for the self. And again, there are so many other strictures for the character of a Vaishnava, where it says that we should not criticize others and other things. So that being the case, why should, as Vaishnavas, sometimes we are bound to talk less about other people in the human society? Even for the sake of preaching, why should we talk? Because the character of a Vaishnava is to only respect others and to without expecting any respect.
Yes.
Why should we talk less about others in the society, like the Brahmanas who are not qualified?
Why should we talk less about them? Why should we talk more about them if they're not
Vaishnavas?
Why should we criticize them?
Yeah.
Well, generally we don't criticize anybody. Yeah. Because we understand people are at different levels, different qualifications. And if they don't have faith, we can't criticize them for not having faith. Let them do something they're qualified for. That's authorized if they don't have faith, but so therefore we don't criticize karmakanda, but we feel they're unfortunate because they have a lesser process, but we don't condemn that part of the Vedas because it's part of the Vedas, but we understand its position.
We see that some of the preachers, they use heavy language to talk about the other sex of the society or the other gender of the society. They try to put down them and try to do so many things.
Well, of course, Krishna also does that a little bit. He calls them mudas and fools and things like that to emphasize certain points. So in certain cases, it can be done. But on the other hand, even Krishna is very merciful even to the demons and he gives them liberation. So in certain cases, it can be done simply to emphasize a point and to warn us that we shouldn't associate with those people. At the same time, we try to elevate them.
But we can find that even other people may criticize devotees. Oh, they're just wearing tilak and kandimala, they're not following. It may be vice versa. So we have to be very careful. Those who stay in glass houses must not throw stones at the other people.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful.
The Kindle edition of the book, we can visit Amazon website for your country.
and sign in with your account. We can search the book by typing the title of the book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking H.H. Bhanuswami, we can see the entire library. Let's select a book, say Gopal Champu. On the right hand side, we will find a drop down box with the title Deliver To. Click on it to select your device. Click Buy Now and proceed with your login details and complete the payment process. Some of the books are free with Kindle Unlimited. We can get them by clicking here. To get the paperback edition, please click here. To get Kindle app, please visit the Google Play Store and install it. Open the Kindle app. Click on Start Reading. And then, let's get started. If the search box is not there, click Next till you find the search box. We can search the book by typing the title of book or type H.H. Bhanuswami in the search bar to get the complete list of Maharaj's publications. By clicking on See More, we can get the entire library. Select the book. You can also check the sample by clicking here. Buy now and enjoy reading. We finally proceed to the payment option. Hare Krishna. Hare.